Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. You'll see upcoming events in your bulletin here. There'll be a ladies' meeting on July 24th, that is tomorrow, at 7 p.m. in Fellowship Hall. All ladies of all ages are invited, and I think Amy wanted to.
You do not want to miss this meeting. I know it's a planning meeting for our future meetings, but I have a treat. I have a door prize, and I think you'll like it. So y'all come. We're not eating this time, but y'all come instead.
Thank you, Amy. So ladies, please mark calendars for that. There'll be a fifth Sunday lunch next Sunday after the morning service. Please plan on staying for that and fellowship with us. August the 2nd, that's on Wednesday after next Sunday, is our prayer walk at Wigan School. We'll meet at the school at 6:30 p.m. and then we'll come back to the church after the prayer walk to have a fellowship meal, and I understand it'll be tacos. If you are visiting with us today or you have any needs or requests or something, they are a tear-off in your bulletin. You can just hand that to Brother Tim or one of the deacons, and we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate place or listed on the prayer list or whatever. Any other announcements? Not that I see here. Birthdays. Any birthdays? Because Harold wants to sing happy birthday. No birthdays? Well, we'll get them next week, I'm sure, maybe. A couple of things. Donna McDaniel's not feeling well, so remember her in your prayers. Also, Brother David Cook, I talked with him yesterday. Kelsey, his daughter, had surgery last Wednesday. He wanted to let everyone know she's doing well, recovering from her surgery, and that he loves us and he appreciates all the prayers and support for him and Kelsey and her family during this surgery. So he wanted me to make sure that he really appreciates and to continue to pray for them and her recovery. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. I thank you for this past Sunday school hour, Lord, and the opportunity to study your word this morning, Lord. But we come now to gather together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray for this service, Lord. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move us this morning, Lord, to have already prepared us for this service, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just take all the worldly things out of our minds this morning, Lord, and focus on worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. I lift Brother Tim up to you, Lord, as he stands before us today and proclaims your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, and I know it will not fall on deaf ears, Lord, that we will listen to his preaching, Lord, that comes through you, Lord. I know that you have laid it on his heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we not only listen to it, Lord, that we be attentive, Lord, and that we obey it. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
Well, good morning. Our call to worship this morning is hymn 256, Father, I Adore You. Let's all stand and smile real big. And sing real loud if you can stand. Stand as we sing this morning. We'll sing all three verses. Thank you. blind and unbelieving, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus we pray. In my misguided blood, flow past away, praying for sinner, while in such sunshine in my soul, even though it's raining outside. Hymn 430, if you're looking in the hymn. Oh,
Streets of heaven. here and give an invitation after a minute. I'm looking forward to that day. I've read different books on heaven and people who claim to have died and went to heaven and came back, and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that really catches my attention, first off, if they don't speak about the holiness and the greatness of God when they see Jesus for the first time, then I'm not going to buy into the rest of the book. Amen. Because I think that when we see Jesus and realize all that he has done for us, our first response will be to hit our knees and cry out, holy. So, Lord, thank you, choir, for that song today. If you take the Bible this morning and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. As you find your place, has there ever been a time in your life where a family member, maybe your mom or dad or grandparents or aunt or uncle or your best friend told you that you needed to do something and you refused to do it? And then later on, when you finally took their advice and did it, you found out they were right to begin with. I know y'all don't have that problem like I do. I was hard-headed and didn't listen half of my life, and I still have problems listening now because I can't hardly hear in one ear. Amen. That's probably my punishment for not listening before. This passage speaks about obedience and how I believe that with the sovereignty of God, God knows every thought. He knows every intent of our heart. He knows what we're going to do before we ever even think we're going to do it. But God demands obedience. How many of you believe that? God demands obedience. If that is the case, why do so often we believe that God is going to bless us for half obedience? I believe this passage speaks about the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in the responsibility of man to obey. Here we're going to find a good man. If you went to this man's funeral and you didn't know he was lost, you might think he was on his way to heaven. But it's in the details. It's in the details we find out that this was a good man by human standards, but he had a problem, as we'll find out as we read verse 1. And that problem is that he had leprosy. All right? So let's go ahead and read. We're going to read 17 verses. Amen? We came to church to read about the Bible. Amen? And we're going to read it. I'm not ashamed to read Scripture. Let's read it together. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was great, an honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Now let's stop right there for just a minute, because the victory that God had given to Syria was over Israel. Okay, we need to understand that. All right, now, because if you don't get that, you won't get the rest of it. Said, by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master the same. Thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, or which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? That this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored by the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of herb, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. We pray with you. Heavenly Father, as we have read, Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you've given it to us today to hear and to understand and to apply to our own lives. Lord, help us to look at this scripture maybe from a new light. Help us to remember from maybe many, many years ago how we've studied this passage or maybe heard it preached on. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, that you want to use this passage to do today. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to obey your commands. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see this morning is a man with a problem. The man with a problem. As I said, this was a great man. The Bible talks about many good things about him in verse 1. We can just go back real quick and look. He was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a highly decorated man. He was probably I don't even know what they call him in the military now, the top 5-star generals, I guess. He was at the top of his field. But it was because God was using him. And that tells me something, that if God chooses to use a non-believer, he can use them to do whatever he wants to do and to accomplish. Also, sometimes we write people off who may not be up to our standards or do live like we do, but God has a plan and purpose for every single person. He was not only the commander of the army, but he was a great and honorable man. This was a good man. Here again, if we were to preach this man's funeral, you wouldn't know whether he was a saved or lost person. Not by reading these first few words in chapter or chapter 5, verse 1. He was great. He was honorable in the eyes of his master. Character means a lot. Amen? Because if you don't have character and integrity, you can't stand before even your fellow man. But here's the important thing. He was a great man, but he was honorable, and it was even in the eyes of his master. Why? As I've already stated, because it was by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he was a mighty man of valor. He was one that you would want to put into battle to lead the troops, because he was not afraid of anything. But with all the good that is being said about this man, he had a serious problem. And what was that? The end of verse 1 says he had leprosy. He was a leper. Now, background on leprosy, many of you know that it would start out as almost like a little rash. It would be a white patch of skin that would begin to grow, and as you can see, it spread, and normally it would spread to other parts of the body. But we have to understand, in pagan societies back then, they didn't put people who had leprosy, they didn't put them out. That was a rule that only the nation of Israel did, because that person was unclean. And most of the time, people who had leprosy, because it was connected with sin in their lives that they would not repent of. So this man was a great man. He was a man of honor. He was a great man because he had been given victory from the Lord. He was an honorable man. He was all them great things, but he had a problem, because after a while, leprosy begins to spread across your body, and the more that it spreads across your body, the more you begin to lose feeling in your hands and in your feet, in your arms and in your legs, and they say that literally it would cause sometimes your flesh to rot off the bone. How could a commander of an army be the commander of the army without the ability to fight? You see, he had a serious problem, but God had been blessing him. God was using him to even punish God's own people. Now, the interesting thing is that in Scripture you can find in the New Testament a reference to this time frame. In Luke chapter 4, verse 27, it says, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. There was a lot of these people, and none of them had been healed of their leprosy. So here's the reality of it. Naaman has a disease that he can't get rid of. Naaman is in a place where his disease is ultimately going to take his life. But I want you to know that just like leprosy, every one of us has a disease that is eventually going to take our lives. And what is that disease? It's called S-I-N, sin. And without somebody coming along and doing something about our sin problem, we're going to end up dead, eternally separated from God. Somebody needs to step in. So this whole story to me is a picture of salvation. It's a picture of salvation. Next thing I want us to see in verse 2. There was this little girl who had hope. Aren't you glad somebody took the time to share Jesus with you? Amen? Where would you be today if it wasn't for somebody, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, the preacher, the evangelist, the VBS teacher, whoever, somebody shared Jesus with you and you came to know about Jesus. Somebody shared that there was hope in Christ. Now, here this little girl, she's been captured. She's been taken from her homeland. She is now a servant girl. How many of y'all would like to do that? None of us. How many of us would be tempted to give up on our faith in God. This little girl impresses me, because although she's in a bad place, she's with people who have destroyed their homes, their families, and taken them captive. She still has faith in God, and she tells her mistress, she says, "Listen, if my master could just meet Elisha, he would know that there is a prophet in Israel." And what is a prophet? A prophet is somebody who proclaims. Now, we know there's false prophets, but the way to tell a good prophet from a false prophet is that it, what comes true, if it comes true, it is because it came from God, not the other way around. So here's the whole issue. This little girl tells her mistress, if he could just meet Elisha, he'd know that there's a prophet in Israel. Her mistress must have believed her. She had enough character that her mistress believed her. And what does she do? She tells her husband, maybe that same night, maybe the same day, and said, "Listen, this servant girl, whatever her name was, she said, you know, if you could meet Elisha, he could heal you of your leprosy." So what does he do? We don't know if it's the same day or next day. He goes to the king of Syria and says, "Hey, there's this girl from Israel that we've taken captive, and she says this, that if I were to go to him, he could heal my leprosy." Now, here's the thing too. This man was so important to the king of Syria that he sends him away with what? Well, let's read. He sends him away with 10 talents of silver. You know how much a talent of silver, they say, most scholars say, weighed back then? One talent weighed 75 pounds. So now you're talking about this man sends Naaman away with 750 pounds of silver. Now, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday morning I did the numbers on this. They could have changed, you know how stock market is. But the other day, it was $25.16 an ounce. That is $301,920 today. He sent 6,000 shekels of gold, and I'm just going to get straight to the point here. 4,729,825. We don't know how much the robes of clothes cost, but I imagine if he sent him away with nearly $5 million worth of gold and $300,000 worth of silver, he must have sent some mighty expensive outfits to him. Amen. Y'all ladies, what's them stores called? Chico's, Chaco's, whatever they are. They ain't got nothing on what name his boss sent on him. Amen. He went with over $5 million to Elisha's house. But I want us to realize something. You can't buy God. You can't buy God. Wasn't that literally what the king of Syria and Naaman were trying to do? As they go, they're thinking, surely the king of Israel will accept this over $5 million I'm sending, and allow his prophet Elisha to heal Naaman because he has leprosy. Most of us wouldn't even blink that Naaman because we say he's the enemy, and so we don't need to mess with it. So the king tears his clothes, and he's literally saying, "Am I in the place of God that I can make alive and bring down? Can I bring them up from life and cure leprosy?" Because the king knows nobody has ever been healed of leprosy. He's saying, "Why are you sending him? Or what quarrel are you trying to pick with me? Because you know this is impossible." But you know what the man of God did? He's heard about the king tearing his clothes. And he sends to the king and he says, "Send him to me. Send him to me." I want us to understand this here, because look down in verse 8. At the very end of verse 8, there was a purpose for Elisha saying to the king to send him to me. What was the purpose? So that he, Naaman, would know that there is a prophet of who? A prophet of God in Israel. The whole purpose was so that Naaman would understand that there is only one God. Because I'm sure that Naaman had already gone to all the pagan gods that the Syrians had worshipped. And Elisha's saying, let's just send him on over. Send him to my house. Now, see point number 3, Elisha, the prophet of God. He comes, Naaman drives up in his chariot. Today we'd probably say it was a Lamborghini or Bentley or Ferrari or something. He comes flying up there with his fancy horses and chariot and pulls up to his door, and he's got all his paparazzi with him. Amen. He goes up to Elisha, and what does he expect? I could imagine every person in town came to see the show. Amen. I mean, that would be like Donald Trump come to town. I would say Biden, but that may not work down here. I'll forget it. That would be a big show because everybody's coming to find what's going on. You know, they want to see the show for themselves. So they see all this fancy stuff coming on, all this gold and silver and changes of clothes. And Naaman pulls up to Elisha's house, and he gets something that he didn't expect. He gets something he doesn't expect. He doesn't get to see Elisha. It's really interesting when you read this story, because Naaman pulls up to the door. I say to the door. I don't know what it was, a tent, whatever. He comes up there, and he expects Elisha to come outside to see him, right? He expects Elisha to come walking out and see all that he can give to him, because he's still trying to buy his healing, right? Well, verse 10 is very interesting. Verse 10, it says, then Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Elisha doesn't even go out the door and talk to the man himself. Why? Because it was not Elisha that was doing the healing. Elisha had already heard from God what to say, and Elisha spoke the words that needed to be spoken. There was nothing else that needed to be done. Now is the call of obedience. There has to be that act of obedience that Naaman has to follow through on. If he wants healing, he has to do what God told him to do. And you know what? That's the same thing with our sin problem. If we want healing from our sin problem, we have to do it exactly as God tells us to. We have to believe. We have to repent of our sins, and we have to turn to Christ and follow him. Well, I believe that Naaman's sin was his pride. Remember all the good things we read about in verse 1 about Naaman, how great he was. He was a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. He was all these great things. And so now he's put himself on a pedestal. And you know what happens to people in church, in school, in government who put themselves on a pedestal? They think they're too good to do the low jobs. Amen? They don't want to wipe the little kid's nose. They don't want to help out in the kitchen. They don't want to work. I'm up here. They don't want to serve. They want to do the easy stuff. They want to do the big stuff. They want their names plastered everywhere. Amen? Naaman says, I mean, you might as well stamp pride across, not that kind of pride, but pride across his forehead, the sin of pride, because he thought he was too good to do what Elisha tells him. The answer had been given. He had to obey. He had to go to the Jordan because it was a specific place God told him to go. And it was a specific amount of time that God told him to do. Now, I want us to think about the attitude of Naaman for a minute. Look at verse 11. Because Elisha sent his servant, told him what to do, told him how to be cured, how to be cleansed, right? Isn't that why he went there? So Elisha sends his messenger to tell him what he needs to do, and look at verse 11. It says, but Naaman became what? Furious. He was furious. Why was he upset? He came all this way, brought all this money, and changed the clothes to be healed, and he's already been told what to do, and now he's mad because he's got to do something. Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense. But then we see where the pride steps in, because he begins to vent. Have you ever vented to somebody? Come on now. Naaman became furious and went away and said, what is that? Indeed, I said to myself, the New American Standard Bible says, I thought to myself. In other words, this is what he's saying. I thought he would do it my way. I thought he would give me something difficult to do. I thought that I would have to jump through hoops. I thought that he would perform some magic trick, because that's really what Naaman wanted. He wanted a magic show. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't make us jump through hoops to come to salvation. I'm glad that Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I'm glad that he presents the way, and it's simply this. If I'm going to go to Christ, I have to do it his way. If I want healing for my sin problem, I have to do it God's way, not my way, not how I think it should be. Naaman had this same problem. He wanted to do it his way. Look with me. Said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. But Naaman, he didn't want to obey. He wanted a show. He wanted a show. But what Naaman didn't realize is that Elisha didn't have the power in him to heal him. It wasn't in Elisha to do some show or wave his hand. Matter of fact, I believe just as Elisha did, he stayed in the house. There was no need for him to go out and do anything or say anything to Naaman, because God had given the message. Elisha gave the message to the servant. Now it's up to Naaman to go in obedience and do what God's told him to do. Naaman went away furious. He went away furious. But thank God for godly friends. Thank God for friends who will tell us the truth. I know we get upset sometimes when our friends call us out, but we should be thankful that we have friends that care enough to tell us the truth. And that is exactly what happens here in this passage. Naaman, he's going away furious. He's going back to Syria. He's taking his gold and his silver and his 10 changes of clothes, and he's going back home, and he's mad about everybody and everything. He has some servants that come to him, and they are respectful to him because they call him Father. They're really calling him master leader. They're humbly speaking to him. They weren't arrogant in what they were saying, but they simply called him out. I want us to read this once again. It says, verse 13, and the servants came near him and spoke and said, "My father, if the prophet would have told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" They were speaking reason into Naaman's life. They're saying this, if he'd have told you to go bring, like David, If he'd have told you to bring me 100 heads of an enemy, you would have done it. And if he'd told you to bring half the mountain to you, you would have done it. But simply because he tells you to go wash in the Jordan and dip 7 times and you be clean, you refuse to do it. In other words, it's too simple for you. Sometimes we get big-headed and powerful and think, "I'm too good to do this or that." Because Naaman, isn't that what he said? Aren't the rivers of Damascus better than these? You see, Naaman wanted healing on his own terms. He didn't want to obey, but you know, we can't earn salvation on our terms. We can't do enough good or be good enough to be looked at by God and say, "Okay, yeah, I'm just going to heal you." Somebody needs to speak truth to us. That's why we need to be in church, amen? We need somebody to speak truth into our lives and tell us when we're going wrong and doing wrong. And we need to realize it and humble ourselves, because that's what Naaman needed to do. He just simply needed to humble himself and be obedient to God. Well, we see the obedience of Naaman. Look at verse 14. It says, "So he," meaning Naaman, "went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Here's what I believe. The Bible doesn't say it, but this is some etymology, okay? I believe that there was none of the leprosy removed from Naaman until he came up out of the water the 7th time. When he went down the first time, he probably came back up out of the water. Maybe it was a spot on his arm. And maybe he looks to see, and he said, "Well, that didn't change." So he had to make a decision. Am I going to keep doing this, or am I going to look like a fool in the end? And I believe he dipped down in that water the 2nd time, and I believe he looked at that spot and it was still the same. And he did it the 3rd time, and the 4th time, and the 5th time, and the 6th time. And he's saying, "You know what? I'm beginning to doubt that this is really the man of God. I'm really beginning to doubt if this is the way for healing and cleansing." But I believe when he came up out of that water the 7th time, guess what? All that leprosy was gone. It was there no more. I think about this, and I think about how we realize that Naaman had this problem of pride, but he finally came to his senses, and he finally came to the understanding that he had to do things God's way to have healing. That is the same way with us today. God does not, hear me out on this, God does not bless partial obedience. Because if you only halfway do something, you haven't done it. Amen? If you mow half your yard, is the whole yard mowed? No. If either commercials on TV with the dog that's only been groomed halfway down the body, you know, it's not done till the whole thing's done. It's the same way. God does not bless partial obedience. God only blesses full obedience. As I think about it, I think about how Sometimes we want salvation on our own terms. We all have a sin problem. Amen. We all have a sin problem. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what?" Dad, you see, we have a leprosy problem too. It's called sin. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Amen. There's not one of us here without the problem of sin in our life. Every one of us is guilty. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death. Your sin, just like leprosy, will eventually lead to death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. But the second part of Romans 6:23 says, "But God." But God did what? God gave us a gift, and this eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the cure. We have the cure for our sin. We have the cure for our leprosy, so to speak. And that's Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not what?
Perish,
but have everlasting life." You see, it is only through Christ that we can find forgiveness, we can find healing for our sin problem. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. The payment has already been paid. The cure has already been secured. Amen. The problem is, do we believe? Are we going to fully surrender ourselves to who Jesus is in God's way of being cleansed and being healed of our sin problem? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us, "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
You'll be saved from your what? From your sin, from your shame, from your separation of God. You will be brought back right. You will be made well. You will be clean and cleansed of your sin problem. How do we do that? Yeah, let me back up. I can jump ahead. Romans 10:10. "But with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:13. "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be" what?
Saved.
"Saved from what?" "Saved from your leprosy, from your disease of sin." You see, cleansing of our sin comes through Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You can't buy your way into heaven, just like Naaman couldn't buy his healing. Salvation comes through faith in Christ alone, through obedience, of repenting of our sins and believing Christ. How about you today? Have you been cleansed? Naaman had a choice to make. Naaman had a choice to make. He could either obey and be healed of his problem, or he could die not believing. What about you today? Are you sure that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation? Are you still trying to get to heaven on your own terms? Are you still trying to be healed of your sin by the way you want to, because you think there might be a better way when Jesus said he is the only way? Have you been cleansed? Naaman had a choice to make. And that choice was, would he obey and be cleansed and be healed of his disease, or would he go away in a condition that would ultimately lead to his death? I think we are faced with a very similar question this morning. Will you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for your salvation? Or will you be mad at me today and be mad at the Word of God today and walk out of here still in your sin, still in your leprosy? You see, you can choose to obey what the Lord says, or you can choose not to. That's up to you. But I encourage you today to be like Naaman. Go down to the waters. Be obedient to the Lord. Be cleansed of his sin.